Argue, argue, talk, talk, talk. Exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good afternoon, everyone. Oh, it's so much fun to have the pleasure and the honor to do talk radio. It's a passion. What can I tell you? It's a passion. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1, and this is Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and it's Tuesday, June 26th, 2018, primary day in 7 states all around the country. Maryland, Mississippi, New York, Oklahoma, Utah, South Carolina, and Colorado. I'm a native of Colorado, although I get around a little more than I used to. I've lived in New York and L.A. and Florida. My joke used to be that I knew I was going to have to sink or swim, so I figured I ought to do it where there was a lot of water. But then I came home to Denver, and I spend my time both in Wyoming and Colorado, and points in the middle of the mountains. And so I am pretty much watching the Colorado primary. I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of that, but I just got off the radio with a local AM station here talking about the Colorado primary. It's a fascinating one. Colorado's been a bellwether in some ways for the primary. What a huge news day it is today and every day. That's one of the reasons I'm so jazzed always to be with you, but especially on days like today. We're going to watch the election returns come in, and 2 huge Supreme Court decisions that came down today from the Supreme Court, or as some people like to call it, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And both of them are huge wins for Donald Trump. So I'm not tired of winning. I'm happy to keep winning, 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 because we had a long, dry 8 years under Obama. And there's a reason we're winning, because the economy wasn't just depressed, it was repressed. And now Trump is not only taking advantage of that, but employing all the best possible free market strategies to bring this economy back to life. I don't know if you're worried about this latest brouhaha. I think it's more than that. I love the word kerfuffle. There's this great kerfuffle with Maxine Waters, with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who was thrown out of the Red Hen restaurant in Lexington, Kentucky? Yeah, Lexington, Virginia, I think it was. I don't have it in front of me. I just get so much news. My head is full of news. But then Maxine Waters, God love that woman. She's doing more for the Republican Party than a good many of our Republicans are doing for our Republican Party. Because Maxine Waters is not afraid to say what a good many leftists actually think, but are too smart to say so. And because Donald Trump has kept these people's hair on fire for such a long time, they're starting to lose their lunch. Do you ever notice when people have a little too much to drink, they become more of who they really are? You know, it's kind of like that actor whose name escapes me. I think I blocked it out. Who threw out all those truly anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish statements because he was very drunk and he blamed it on being drunk. A lot of people said, well, that's when your real, honest, true feelings come out. You're not covering them up. You're not trying to be liked. Maxine Waters has no such filter, and you got to love her for it. She said, do we have an audio, not very much of one, of Lisa Looper actually running after Maxine Waters? It's a very short bite, but Doug, if you would, let's hear that sound bite of Lisa Looper going after Maxine Waters after she was heard inciting violence. We could talk about that, but that's what I think it was. Go for it, Doug.
My name's Laura Loomer. I'm an investigative journalist. You just recently made some comments in which you encouraged your supporters.
Who are you, about, darling?
My name is Laura Loomer. I'm a Trump supporter, and I'm also...
Come to my office and talk with me.
Where can we
eat? We'll be happy to talk with
you. Where can a conservative eat at a restaurant in D.C.?
Lisa Loomer, not Looper. I think that's like Gilda Radner's character on Saturday Night Live. Lisa Loomer, gutsy woman, young lady who said, where can conservatives eat? You got to love that, don't you? These liberals think that Gestapo tactics are perfectly acceptable. They think discrimination is perfectly acceptable. They think reversing elections by impeaching candidates you don't like is acceptable, that that's perfectly acceptable behavior. So what can we conclude? But if they were in power, as they were during those very frightening Obama years, they basically just abused power in order to shut other people down. They used the IRS to shut people down. They used the FBI and the CIA to spy on their enemies and then frame them for the very thing they were doing. Now, I don't have to go into detail by detail by detail to make the general point that if this is what they've been doing where we can see it, just imagine what they were doing for 8 years under Obama that we didn't see, that we did not know. When you look at a pattern of behavior, let's just say, for example, that you need to hire a plumber, or maybe you're a landlord and you need a tenant to rent your property, and you need to make some wise decisions about the character of the person or people that you're going to trust, either with your business, with your property, with your contracts, with your life in some cases. You've got to be discriminating and in a good way. You have to be able to judge people's character. Somehow, when it comes to politics, we don't think that applies. We don't think we ought to be able to make judgments, important judgments, about the kind of character and the pattern of behavior that we watch in plain view in politics. What we're talking about in the case of Maxine Waters is a person who was willing to call for impeachment of the President of the United States before he even became President of the United States. Now, I've been ranting about this because I just think it's so patently obvious how unfair and unjust and unreasonable that is. You usually impeach a president for actions they did that were unethical or a high crime and misdemeanor. So here is Maxine Waters calling to impeach and reverse an election because she lost. Now, it's fascinating to me because I think a majority, probably a very large percentage of liberals were actually trying to figure out how they might be able to impeach him. He hadn't even been inaugurated yet. It was before his inauguration, before June 20th, 2017, when Democrats were whispering, how are we going to get rid of this guy? He's going to slam us. He isn't owned by anybody. He isn't, we can't get the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to pay him off, to bribe him. He has more money than we do. He is there representing the people that we've been buffaloing and snowing for the longest time. What are we going to do? So they were all thinking about how they were going to impeach him. For heaven's sake, the FBI was conniving on how they could frame him for doing what they did. So The rest of the left, at least we're talking about in the higher echelons, not the hangers-on everyday Democrat voters who basically have just been snowed by, snowed by the line that the liberals give them, that they're more compassionate than anybody else. But just think about it. All these liberals that are calling the shots in Washington, they're every bit as unethical and unreasonable and unfair and unjust as Maxine Waters. It's just that, I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize. Donald Trump is right. Maxine Waters is a low IQ person who is too stupid to lie. So for that, I love her. I do. I love this woman. I hope she never shuts up. I hope she just keeps talking, because she is expressing the true and honest sentiments of the left in America today. That's who the left is. Now, could anyone do the same to her because they disagree with her? They would immediately be called a racist. What I'm talking about is if anybody said that Maxine Waters would not be welcome in a restaurant, it wouldn't take the rest of your sentence before they would call you a racist. Al Sharpton would be coming out of the woodwork. They would be marching down Fifth Avenue in New York City. You are a racist, racist, racist if you dare to disagree with a black person. Now, there are low IQ people in the white, in Caucasiansville, as much as there are low IQ people in Blacksville. I don't know what else to call it. But if you ever dare to criticize a black person, you're a racist. That's it. No questions asked. You're a racist. If you dare to disagree with an immigration open borders advocate who basically is advocating the breaking of our immigration laws in this country, you are a bigot. You are a xenophobe. Pure and simple. That's all there is to it. No questions asked. And then they take that position that they claim is beyond reproach. I mean, it's kind of like if you're against gay marriage, that makes you homophobic. Period. End of story. You don't even get to discuss it. It doesn't even get to be debated. You are homophobic. Never mind that phobia means you're afraid of something. All right, we're not going to go down that road. But anyway, so the travel ban was upheld. First of all, it isn't a travel ban. It never was. This is what the Democrats do consistently. They reframe the language in their own favor. What bothers me is that Republicans allow it. Republicans accept it. And Republicans actually use liberally beneficial language when they don't have to. It's too bad that so much money was spent to take an issue all the way to the Supreme Court because there are unethical, dishonest judges who are willing to politicize their decisions when they know darn well that Donald Trump was well within his rights to institute a travel ban if it was for the safety and security of the nation. I mean, never mind, the previous president did things that were directly in opposition of the safety and security of a nation. And we know he did. He even admitted he did. We stood by and watched a president of the United States enable the biggest enemy of probably of the world, of Western civilization, certainly the biggest enemy of the United States of America, and certainly the biggest current enemy, because she has so many, of the state of Israel. And he enabled that country by hastening their ability to get nuclear weapons and then sending them boatloads and boatloads and boatloads of cash besides. Now, that's what was happening in plain view. You just have to ask yourself, what was happening behind the scenes? Well, you know what? we're starting to find out just the tip of the iceberg of what was happening behind the scenes. The Mueller travesty, and we're going to get into that with my guest in a few more minutes. It has become clear again and again and again that the biggest tactic that the Democrats use is to project their unethical, hateful, bigoted, and obstruction of justice behavior onto others, partly to obfuscate who they really are and to distract from their criminal behavior. And I'm not being extreme here. We're talking about criminal behavior. Here's a quote from Dan Bongino. I love this quote. It happened today. I think he tweeted it. Liberals aren't hiding anymore. They're finally acknowledged their warm embrace of one, political violence, two, weaponized government, three, political spying, four, mob tactics, five, speech suppression. The truth is finally coming out. Well, this has been the truth all along. We knew who these people were. It's just that we didn't have the gift of Donald Trump to expose who these people were. Donald Trump has given us a gift on a silver platter. He has shown us how to fight the left. And still to this day, this is primary day for seven states around the country. The midterms are in November, the first Tuesday in November. And still we have never-Trumper Republicans who think Donald Trump needs to be stopped. People like Bill Kristol, whose ship of significance traveled a long time ago, a long, long time ago. So, it is just too fascinating to watch this happen. I think, and I come full circle, I really think that the best gifts to the Republican Party, and please make no mistake, I'm not joking. I'm really serious here. The best gifts to the Republican Party are Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the other band of idiots. I'm sorry, I don't usually call people idiots, but I just can't help myself today, who constantly obfuscate the truth in order to rustle up hatred and division. Now, make no mistake, I am concerned that we are living in a time where such illogic and lack of rationality and adolescent behavior is commonplace today. I shudder to think what my dear father would think. He died in 1991. If I could bring him back for just one day, he'd say, "What has happened to my country?" But you know what? I'm glad that I would bring him back today to show him that we are indeed fighting back with a man who doesn't seem to be afraid of anything. He stared down Kim Jong-un, for heaven's sake, and the left and the media still wouldn't give him an ounce of credit. If he walked on water, if he found a cure for cancer, they would say, well, why didn't he find a cure for Alzheimer's too? They are never going to give him an inch. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a gift, because this is how corrupt these people were all along. They were corrupt like this all along. They just hit it so well. Now, in Colorado, we have an open seat for governor in Colorado, and there's a governor by the name of John Hickenlooper. Yes, that's his name, John Hickenlooper. Now, a lot is being made of the fact that John Hickenlooper secretively, but not so secretively these days, went off to the Bilderberg conference in Italy, because it seems as if any potential presidential candidate has to be vetted by the Bilderbergs and the other globalists that are out there today trying to tell us that borders don't matter. And they are our betters. And they're the people that are going to nicely divvy up the riches of the world so that they can be rich and everybody else can be poor. Oh, but they're doing it out of compassion. And they're doing it for our own good, don't you know? So John Hickenlooper might, in fact, turn up as a presidential candidate. Some very scrappy journalists went after him in a tour in Italy, tried to get a comment. You know, it's kind of interesting when a Colorado governor is meeting with the biggest, most powerful people in the world and is attending a secret meeting about which he can say nothing. What's interesting is that there is a very fascinating race going on in Colorado in the primary of people who are very, very wealthy. And that's unfortunate when supposedly the party of the little guy is really the party of the biggest money in politics today. And that, my friends, is the Democrat Party. Well, we're coming up on a break here. I want to tell you who we're going to have when we come back. I didn't even get to half the stuff on my stack. It's just such a hot news day. Again, what an honor. Maybe we'll have time to discuss some of this with my next guest, my only guest, this time around on Spouting Off. Dr. James Lewis is a prolific writer for American Thinker, and we will make sure that you can get a hold of his many, many articles on a variety of subjects, but he doesn't do interviews much. And I happen to feel very special that he's willing to sit down with me from the points wherever he is. I don't even know where he is today, but Dr. James Lewis is going to join us. We're going to talk, because he has a mental health background and so do I, we're going to talk about some of the unintended and maybe not so unintended consequences of mental health and guns. We'll probably get into Mueller's men and a whole lot more. So stay with us. This is Spouting Off. Happy as punch, Karen Cataline, your host. And stay with us when we come back here on Spouting Off.
Hi, I'm Shelby, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arnn, on Congress granting itself legal exemptions.
In 1788, as the Constitution was being debated, James Madison wrote that the chief restraint preventing Congress from passing laws that apply to us, but not to Congress, is, quote, the vigilant and manly spirit which actuates the people of America, a spirit which nourishes freedom. If this spirit shall ever diminish, so as to tolerate a law not obligatory on the legislature, the people will be prepared to tolerate anything but liberty. Today, Americans live under many laws that do not apply to elected officials and those who work for them. If we hope to preserve our liberty, we must recultivate that manly spirit of freedom that our fathers had.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And thanks for listening to Spouting Off here on the last, I think it is, yes, the last show of June. We are racking up an amazing number of podcasts, by the way. If you'd like to listen to any of our past podcasts, this is show number 38, and all of them are available on my website, KarenCataline.com. You can also reach me on Facebook. It's all Karen Cataline. If you know how to spell my name, you'll be able to find me on Facebook and Twitter, and that's as much social media as I do. So it's K-A-R-E-N, last name K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Drop me a line and listen to some of those podcasts if you'd like, and let me know what you think. I am honored and delighted to have a prolific writer and retired scientist, Dr. James Lewis. He has a huge archive of articles on American Thinker, 10 years worth of articles, and has written for other conservative opinion outlets. Welcome to Spouting Off, Dr. James Lewis. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks very much, Karen. I really appreciate this.
Great, great. Well, I've just got to jump right in. Today is a big news day. We've got two Supreme Court decisions. Two more wins for Donald J. Trump. What are your thoughts?
Tell me about the Supreme Court decisions. I know there's a First Amendment
decision.
What's the other one?
I'm not doing my job, because all good talk show hosts should anchor everybody, because you never know when someone might be listening to this podcast. They could be listening to it 3 years from now. Can you believe that? 3 years from now, someone could be listening to this show, June 26th, 2018. So today, two Supreme Court decisions came down in favor of Trump. The first one that they unfairly and inaccurately call the travel ban. It was a 5-4 decision in favor of Trump's already legally allowed duties to be able to decide who should and should not come into this country. The other one, and I don't know the entire case, was that pregnancy centers do not have to promote abortion. This decision brings an end to the troubling abortion distortion factor, according to what I saw. It's amazing that Democrats, for all of their, we love freedom, and that's why we're pro-choice. And of course, I have some sentiments of getting the government out of women's business and out of our medical business altogether. And people can argue with me about that later. But it's interesting, when the Democrats want their own way, they're not afraid to use the power of government to force people to do it their own way. What are your thoughts about that, Dr. Lewis?
Well, I think you're exactly right, and it's very annoying the way they will use the rhetoric of freedom and the First Amendment to justify this very Stalinist dictatorial approach to pregnancy clinics and just about everything else. They're always flipping things upside down, and conservatives just have to learn how to not allow them to flip things upside down.
Touché. Now, full disclosure here, I'm delighted to say that I consider you a personal friend, Dr. Lewis. That's why you were kind enough to come on the radio with me, because you tend to express your thoughts mostly on in words on paper, and you write some wonderful stuff. Tell us about your mental health and your neuropsychiatric background so people can get a better sense of who you are and how you came to be so interested in politics.
Well, I'm interested in politics because I got scared. And I think a lot of us can probably identify with that. And I remember actually, this started very early because I've been hanging around academia for decades, much too long to talk about. And I've seen these fascists, which is the label that Victor Davis Hanson uses for them. And he's a historian, he's a good guy. He calls them fascists, and I think that's true. And the particular kind of fascism that they practice is Stalinism, because Stalinism was a kind of totalitarianism that killed endless millions of people and spread to China and all that kind of stuff. You know that. But basically, they were control freaks. And the left today consists of control freaks. And any time Trump tweets, COFVEVE, which sounds like a typo to me, they go bananas.
Say so, CO what?
So this is.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Okay. I got it. COFBBB, what?
Well, no, it's this nonsense thing that by mistake he was fumbling out of bed or something like that and typed in COFVEVE. And
right,
we've
right,
never
right.
heard whatever the hell was going on. It was just a typo. And that very day, everybody on the left, or at least it seems like everybody, some noisy minority on the left, freaked out because Trump had typed out this nonsense thing.
Now,
and that was
Lewis,
proof of his idiocy, of course, right?
Oh, it's their idiocy, really. Now, you got scared around 10 years ago because you started becoming quite a prolific writer 10 years ago. Now, I know the answer to this question, but I don't know. What happened about 10 years ago, Dr. Lewis?
This is actually, I'm older than I like to think, so I tend to talk about 10 years ago when it's actually by now, let's see, 9/11/01, and this is 2018. And I remember that before 9/11, at the very end of the Clinton years, I had this deep sinking feeling, and it was completely intuitive. I do not know why I had it, but I knew that something bad was going to happen, and just was very, very, very troubled, very dark, emotional period. And because I realized that the country was exposed to danger. Clinton didn't do anything, as you know. We saw the 1993 a truck bombing of the Twin Towers. That was the first one in Manhattan. And then I had no idea what was going on, of course. But then suddenly, as soon as Bush came in, 9/11, and that was stunning. And for one day or 2 days or a week or whatever, I saw people around here in California flying flags out of their cars, and
right.
it seemed like a moment of unity and unity. I think that's the most important thing for
and how
a week.
Quickly we forgot.
Well, you're exactly right, and I think we forgot for a very important reason, which is that the left, which controls the media, made us forget. And that's, again, that's the pathology. That's our national and really our Western pathology today, because Europe is just as bad.
Now, Dr. Lewis, I know that you write a great deal on jihad and a lot of those questions, and I want to get to that. But I first want to ask you about this topic, because this is actually the reason I thought this might be interesting. And of course, you never know what kind of news is going to hit. That's what makes talk radio so fascinating.
Yep.
But This Maxine Waters story that we're just at the beginning of, and for those who do not know, and wherever this podcast goes, Maxine Waters gave a speech, and we've been talking about it a little bit, to her supporters that could certainly be construed as encouraging more of the same discrimination of basically telling Republicans or administration, people in the Trump administration, that they're not welcome in public restaurants. They're just not welcome. Even if they're there to simply eat dinner and mind their own business, they should be harassed. They should be, people should get in their face. And it's happening more and more. Now, I bring this up because the left is not afraid, it seems, and has not been afraid to incite violence. At the same time that they're inciting violence, they're trying really, really hard to take away law-abiding citizens' rights to own guns. Now, you know, this is a fascinating juxtaposition. They want to disarm their political enemies while threatening and creating violence. And what concerns me is your mental health background and mine, that a lot of people want to put, I'm a little all over the place here trying to say too much, but first off, what do you think of that, Dr. Lewis, the idea that the left is trying to disarm the very people that they want to scare and bully into submission?
Well, I agree with you, first of all. Secondly, they are fascists. And that is not metaphorical, and it's not just some guilt by association thing. They are fascists. And the definition in this particular case of being fascist is that they are such control freaks that they will not let anybody who dissents from their craziness express themselves freely or go to restaurants or live their normal lives. They have to get in your face and stop you from articulating at these forbidden thoughts. And as you know, of course, in psychiatric terms, we know a great deal about people who are that kind of control freaks to the point where they are living in another universe. They are not making contact, just like the whole Washington establishment, the swamp, had no idea that there were Americans out there who did not snap to and give the Hitler salute and listen to NBC and CBS and CNN and all the others, and who just didn't agree with it. And they went through the airports, they saw CNN at the airports and just ignored it. Or maybe they listened to it for a while and then decided, no, that's not what they believed. That's the true majority of Americans. And one of the things that's so wonderful about talk radio and all the other new media is that for the first time in decades, we are getting a chance to be heard.
That's true. I want to go back, though. Well, I think it is that they're control freaks and all of that. It just seems as if the logical progression of socialism and all those isms, the logical progression of this utopian thinking that I know best for you. Well, the minute someone says, no, I don't think you do, your only option is to accept that no for an answer, take no for an answer, or force them. Okay?
Exactly.
And that is why all of the Stalinist and the communist governments eventually have led to really horrible genocidal things. Because eventually you have to send people to Siberia, you have to shut them up, or worse, because they're not allowed to say no in your own utopian dream. That's the problem. And that's the problem that the young, the millennials and a lot of very naive people. You don't have to be a millennial to be naive today. You could be 69 and be naive and think that the left only wants to put a chicken in every pot. So I just had to get that off my chest. Okay.
Well, and so look, you're obviously, with your background in mental health, you know about paranoia, right? I mean, serious pathological
paranoia.
I do.
It's projection.
Yep.
That's what it is. It's projection.
But a paranoid personality is extremely rigid. And they fake normal. They're very good at faking normal. But when you start scratching their itch, you know, the part where they're delusional, they're deeply, deeply buried in their delusion, and they're either God's representative on Earth, or they're being followed by the CIA, or some damn thing. That's the typical paranoid thing. And as soon as you start scratching that vulnerable part where they're totally stuck, they react with rage, and they react with withdrawal, but there is no way to change these paranoid islands of separated ideas that they have in their heads. And
yeah.
I think what's happened, and this is a disaster, I think. It's a mental health disaster for this country and for Europe as well, because they have gone through exactly the same indoctrination regime. They hear the same things we do, essentially, in their own, you know, in their local words, local terms of reference. So they're constantly seeing neo-Nazis all over the place, right? There are not that many neo-Nazis in Germany, because any smart neo-Nazi knows enough to vote for the socialists. So, you know, they're there, right? But they're just—they're not going to go out and march and so on. Anyway,
for our listeners,
so we have is paranoia, paranoid personality disorder, via mass media indoctrination, and
that's
the
scary,
stuckness,
scary combination.
Fix at this. Of I have friends who are stuck in that. And, of course, I try to talk to them, talk some common sense to them, and you know perfectly well what happens, right?
Scary.
Yeah.
Just for our listeners to talk a little bit, since you got two kind of mental health types, among others, we didn't really talk about your background, which is more of a scientific, neuropsychological, neuropsychiatric aspect of mental health. But the real thing that's going on with paranoia that a lot of people don't understand is that people often describe depression as anger turned inward.
Right.
Paranoia is really anger turned outward. It is such an angry personality, so much hatred and anger being generated from the inside, that the person begins to disown and displace the anger onto others, and it gets turned on them. So when somebody fears that someone's out to get them, it's because their own hateful thoughts are being generated from the inside. I hope that makes sense. A lot of people don't understand that. And what we're seeing today in the left is the exposure of the true hatred and vitriol and bigotry that the left has for their fellow Americans. And it's all been couched in, oh, I'm more compassionate than you. But really, it's projection.
Yeah.
Right?
That makes perfect sense to me. And it's, you know, I think all of us conservatives are getting a little bit more savvy about these kind of pathological mental habits that, in this case, I think, you know, most of the time, you know, somebody walks into your office, if you're a therapist, and they're there for a reason. They're in pain. Their relatives all hate them, whatever it is. But in this particular case, we're talking about a nationwide pathology.
Yeah, well, in a sense, you've got some political strategists who seem to be demagoguing and inciting violence among some very mentally unstable people, which leads me to the question I really wanted to get to with you. And there's so many. I'm definitely going to have you back, I hope.
Okay.
Is that even the NRA talks about how the gun problem is a mental health issue, and they seem to want to sort of palm off this policy, Second Amendment policy, onto the mental health community, which makes me very worried because having been in the mental health field long enough, I know that they are 90%+ liberal. And they think just a regular law-abiding citizen wanting a gun at all makes you crazy. So to palm off a Second Amendment policy on the mental health community without a great deal of checks and balances is of great concern. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the obvious ones is that people who work in mental health don't have the answer necessarily.
So correct.
We're not dealing here with, you know, with high energy physics or some damn thing.
Right.
We're dealing with people who are struggling with human frailties and human pain and delusions. So there are cognitive problems, there are emotional problems, all those kinds of things, and we don't have anything like a adequate answer. We don't know how to cure those colds. They're, you know, we can help. We can try to help. And we've got some medicines that sometimes work and all that good stuff. But nobody in that community, I think, believes that they have the, you know, turn the switch answer to the problem of gun violence. That's crazy.
Well, I hope they don't. Because a lot of them, like every field, has been politicized.
Yeah.
A lot of people are willing to forego their professional principles and even the oath of office that they took in the case of politicians in order to advance their political agendas. So you're exactly right. People outside of the field do not. They're a little bit naive about what mental health professionals can do. It's an art, not a science.
Right. I keep on thinking about this kid, David Hogg.
Yes.
And who made his PR career, or maybe it's whatever it is, its media career, by hating on the people who he got to blame for that horrible massacre. And then I think he probably got picked up by the DNC or something like that. Now he's a big star. He's an idiot, right? And he gets his lines fed to him, obviously, by PR experts who work for the Democratic Party and all that kind of stuff. So, and he's being flattered, and he's probably being paid under the table and so on. But what's interesting about this kid is that he also represents a certain kind of alienated, scared, afraid of being inferior to other kids, rejected by beautiful girls, that whole syndrome. And there's nothing particularly unusual about that. It happens all the time. This is part of normal growing up, and I hate to say that, but it's true.
Why hate to say it? It's called, you know, living life and messing up and standing up again and learning from your mistakes, which socialists would like to tell you that if you just put your life in their hands, you won't have to worry about disappointment anymore. Just let me take care of it.
It's perfection. Right? It's perfection. It's utopia.
It's insane.
And of course, girls have their own equivalent to that, right?
Yeah. What's
so,
that about?
So, teenage girls have exactly the same thing. They're disappointed. They fall in love with the cutest boys or whatever, and then they get rejected, and they get to go home and cry and talk to their girlfriend. No, the whole shtick is just the same thing. For girls and boys, except that girls and boys don't talk to each other. a lot of the time. So they imagine that everything is just beautiful on the other side.
What is so scary, though, is that the left and the hardcore socialists have always been willing to use kids to advance their own agenda. They put them out front as pawns, as the nice face on, and basically they're robbing the childhood of these kids and robbing them of the opportunity to question what they're told and come up with their own ideas. It's indoctrination. Yes, it's brainwashing.
This is so infuriating to see how especially the media manipulate very vulnerable people, including people, adults on the left as well as children, who are vulnerable to that propaganda. And you know it's a formula for unhappiness and despair. And these days, of course, the media are telling their willing victims that the world is coming to an end, and the only way they can solve that is by hating on Trump. And that is...
gun violence is to hate the NRA, because after all, they're responsible for it. How illogical,
exactly.
How absurd.
So this is classical scapegoating, as you know. And
yes.
Scapegoating is what the KKK used to do. And go back and burn somebody's house send around night riders to scare people. It's exactly scapegoating for the KKK. The scapegoat was the black folks living in the neighborhood. And for this new KKK, they might as well be called the KKK, it turns out to be white folks. How about that?
It's there's nothing much new under the sun. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left, and time goes so quickly when you and I get to talk. And I want to get your thoughts. Again, I'm going to give you sort of an open jump ball kind of question.
Okay.
The Tom Clancy novel that is the Mueller investigation. You've written a lot about this, and there's stuff happening every single week on this. Where do you see this going, and what are you watching for next?
I have no idea where it's going, because I think we are in a crisis, and it is such a bad crisis that the closest comparison is the Civil War, which is not to say there's going to be a Civil War. It means that people have talked themselves into a corner, and they can't get out, and they keep on screaming at conservatives as if that's going to help. That's not going to help. So these people are, as I say, they are suffering a kind of pathology, and that doesn't mean that they're crazy people, because normal people can get into the same kind of trap. Especially if they're indoctrinated by media monopoly, which is what's happening today with us. So,
what about the Mueller story, though, with them continually not coming forth with the documents? That's where we are on this day, June 26th. And it's becoming clearer and clearer that they were indeed trying to frame Donald Trump in order to reverse an election that they didn't like, using the very tactics that they accused Donald Trump of. So do you
think you're entirely right.
Do you think that's going to the general public, other than the political junkies like yourself and myself, do you think the general public are ever going to really hear this story?
You know, eventually, see, what I think is happening, that half consciously, half intuitively, people are realizing there's something wrong with this investigation. It's just taking too long. It's getting boring. They're never coming up with what they promised to come up with. So people are drifting away. If you look at the polls, people are kind of drifting away from the credibility that Mueller depended upon. And which, you know, it still keeps persuading the truth to the true believers. I have a friend who's a true believer, and she's just so hurt by watching these children being separated from their moms. And what she doesn't understand, of course, that this is a political stunt.
Totally.
And it's been going on, insofar as it's been going on, it went on during the Obama years all the time.
Worse. And also, it was used to obfuscate what was going on. You had Horowitz, who was being questioned in a hearing the very day that story got, shall we say, trumped up.
Yeah.
So what about that? I mean, there's lots of distractions that are designed to get people. I'll tell you what I think in our last couple minutes. I think that word of mouth and people, everyday people, who are on top of this story, who talk to their friends who can be talked to, mm-hmm. who talk to people at their social gatherings, who tell one another about what's really going on, yeah. they are the new journalists. They are the people who are spreading the word.
Well, so
right?
the standard for journalism is telling the truth. And if somebody is lying, they're not a journalist.
No, they're part of the Democrat Party. Dr. James Lewis, tell everybody where they can read your stuff, where they can reach you, and what's your latest piece out there that someone can read? Because you've got so much great stuff on American Thinker and elsewhere.
Well, it's still true. I'm sort of in transition. It's still true that my writing is what I've done. And so if you want to read up on my stuff, the thing to do is to go to American Thinker, click on the archives, and just go down the list until you get to James Lewis. And then you've got everything I've ever done, because I'm not really a political commentator. I'm sort of a lost scholar.
You just play one on TV, right?
Yeah, exactly. or at
well,
least on
I'm
radio.
Happy to say I had my very first article in American Thinker, and you've got 10 years worth, so I'm going to have to catch up.
Well, congratulations, by the way. It's a good
thank
site.
You very
it's
much. Thank you. James Lewis, you've been a joy to have on the radio. I will try to have you on again. We can talk about jihad, and you're just filled with passion on a lot of these issues. So thank you for being with us. We'll have you on again. And for
great.
Everyone
thank
else,
you.
That my pleasure. This that is all the time we have for this edition. But please, if you'd like to get a hold of me, do so at www.karencataline.com. You'll find all our podcasts of Spouting Off. And thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, and to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be no shortage of great news and commentary and lots more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.